from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host for the past 15 years of this fun little radio show all over the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world, via our website and podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast via our website 24/7, 7 days a week, anytime you want. Listen to it multiple times. Who am I to stop you? It's all free because of the people that help sponsor the show, like our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of VS1. Also, Evercalm, the best scents and a stick, in my opinion, best scents ever for hunting deer, for attractant, for cover scents. Also, some other great products like the scrape-making tool. Find them online, conquestscents.com, or on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Also, our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, a great group of people, not just breeding big deer, but helping do the research for CWD and finding the truth about CWD here in Michigan. And we're going to talk to one of our other great sponsors right now, Mike Green from Not Just Guns, the little store located on Cedar Street in Mason, Michigan, right there at 127. And as I was telling Alex off air, I do not ever, when it comes to Mike Green and this store, let the size of the location fool you. You need not be big to do volume. And that's what's been so important. What I find to be, to me, one of the most important things ever is the customer service and how they take care of you there with their new system of check-in. Stop by, give them your name. They'll take your phone number. When it's your turn, they'll buzz you in, give you a little bit of time to get there. And it all works out well, man. It keeps you warm on these cold days like today. And Mike Green joining us right now from Not Just Guns in Mason, notjustguns.com. Mike, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here as well. And you know what? This happens, and I'm going to say this happens for one reason or another. With the new administration now in office, it seems gun sales have started picking up even more so than they were before. When we're in a good mood, when we buy guns, when we're in a bad mood, well, we wait, then we go buy guns.
That's right.
I don't want people to think we're crazy and angry and then going buying guns. That's not what it is. Firearms in this nation have not only been a source of food, of protection, of enjoyment, of recreation. They're things to collect and admire as well.
They are. And a lot of our customers, buy them for different reasons. But we have a lot of customers that buy more guns than they shoot, if that makes sense.
No, it does make
sense. Anything.
It does make sense because, believe me, you know, when I first got married to my wife, she's, you know, it was one of those, you can only shoot one at a time. But yeah, but which one at that time do I want to shoot?
Right.
You know, and she has come to learn how much fun they can be and how much fun it is to win them at these banquets like we've done for over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one thing that's taken a hit with COVID has been the amount of banquets that we've done. It would be nothing to do 15 a year or more. And unfortunately, we've done one partial small banquet and it turned into an online event. It was sad for the associations. They've been really struggling.
Yeah, I agree. Our friends at, great, great organizations like Commemorative Bucks of Michigan, Pheasants Forever, Whitetails, some of the bigger organizations are still going to do well because they have, wealthy donors. But little groups like the local groups like Commemorative Bucks of Michigan who do the scoring of Michigan whitetail, turkey, elk, bear, of our big four here in the state, they're taking a hit because this is the second year in a row that they're not going to be able to have this the event that I so dearly love.
I know. It's a shame. We've tried to get creative with a couple groups that we're working with now. Just throwing some ideas out there of doing some raffles or some online things, and I hope we can salvage. And a lot of them, the banquet's the main focus of their revenue for the year. So we're trying to get creative. help where we can.
No, absolutely. Now, Mike, when I look at the ammunition industry, I kind of look at it like the stock market, because with certain people coming into office and whatnot, it seems to fluctuate. And buyers are the speculators. Whether you have stock in just one firearm or you own a bunch, you got to have ammunition to shoot that firearm. And, you know, and buying sometimes can be difficult because I won't say there's a shortage. There's a spike in buying.
Correct. Correct. Things did get behind some, obviously, with COVID and closures, close downs, and limited number of people and et cetera. And at the same time that was happening, obviously, the demand went up 400%. And then we introduced, you know, several million new shooters into the picture. Now they want ammo. So it's like this perfect storm. Every manufacturer that we've talked to, their reps say they're running at full capacity. Things are going as well as possible. But again, the demand is so high, it's like having 10 holes in the dam, and you're trying to plug them all as fast as you can, and you're running out of fingers and toes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, it makes sense. And, you know, whether we're just looking for a box or looking for a crate full of ammo, prices are going to vary, okay, because this is kind of, again, like the stock market. All depends on when you get in, what the availability is, and what the cost is to the purchaser, the retailer at that time. And people, I don't think, really understand that when they say, well, geez, why is this box like $4 more now than it was a month ago?
And there's a lot of reasons, and I can't speak for any other shop or store, but for us, we cost average daily. So there's no secret. We're buying ammo from every avenue we can. So you're buying it through normal distribution. You're buying it from retail. You're buying it from importers. You're buying it from all these different places that are not necessarily your norm. And then we're cost averaging. So literally, just about at least once a day, as things come in the door, we're cost averaging up 50 cents, down a dollar, back up, back down, trying to keep the price where it's always been, making the same margin. The mistake is where people think that there's gouging. Well, there is gouging along the way. I have distributors that we don't typically buy as much from. When they're the only ones that have it, you're gonna pay that price. Well, then that's reflected on the shelf.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not like you can say, well, you know, we're going to hold out for a better price for our customers. You want to do that, but realistically, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, if you make your living or your store sells guns and ammo, and you don't have guns or ammo, you're no longer there. So we've had to get real creative, and we've bought ammo and secured ammo from many different sources. You just don't have the control that you wish you had under normal circumstances, where you could order as much as you want at the prices you want. You could be picky and choosy. Now it's buy everything.
Absolutely. Mike Green, Not Just Guns, is joining us here on Wild Michigan. NotJustGuns.com is the website. And don't forget their Wednesday night auctions, because that's where you can sit in the comfort of your own home. And you don't even have to look at anybody on your computer screen. You can just go ahead and do the auction thing and pick up on Thursday or when you can get in there. And they'll, again, along with their new system, get you in and get you taken care of. And Mike, we're going to talk a little bit more about ammunition in the next segment, because I had a buddy of mine that went to a gun show here recently, and he says that the price of ammunition was like through the roof, like a buck a round for like 9mm, which is a very standard firearm handgun round. And I mean, it's just really kind of through the roof. And, you know, from what I'm hearing is it's not too far off. So we're going to talk about that here. In a couple minutes, we'll find out what availability is as well. So if you don't mind hanging on,
sure,
we're going to do that. Speaking with Mike Green from Not Just Guns, I'm Duran Martinez. Find us online, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick us up on our Facebook page. And coming up in the second half of this hour, we're going to talk ice fishing, late season ice fishing, even though our season's short. Going to talk that with Brian Brosdahl here a little bit right now. It's Mike Green joining us here on Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, and thanks to all of our affiliates carrying us across the Great Lakes State here. Speaking with Mike Green, Not Just Guns, online, notjustguns.com. You can find them there 24/7 online, and you can find their doors open, and which has been nice, Mike, recently, as you just told me off air, that there hasn't really been much of a wait, if a wait at all. You guys are just open door, taking customers in, and things are going and flowing very nicely.
They are. We're blessed to see things come around. We've got the doors wide open there as far as no lock, no wait in line, just come and go, shop as normal. About 2 weeks now, and we've had no problems. People have been really great coming in. It's been nice getting a little more time with people. So it's nice to see things somewhat coming back to some sort of normality.
It is, and we're seeing a little bit, you know, in other things that we do around here. But with you guys at Not Just Guns, you guys have followed the rules and adapted, which has been nice with this whole pandemic situation that we've been in. But again, situations like this cause kind of, I don't want to say panic, I mean, an urgency to buy ammunition and the like. And how have you guys been sitting with like the popular rounds, like with 9mm, 223, 556, those being like the most difficult and seemingly most expensive to find?
Yep, they've been difficult, and it's been really difficult at certain times throughout this whole pandemic. We're coming into a situation where we're still getting it to our normal distribution chains, and it's starting to pick up a little bit. Prices are starting to come back closer to reality. But we've also secured large amounts of ammo over the next 3 to 4 months. We'll have a steady supply of 9, 223, and 556. We've purchased it at a certain rate, so that's going to help bring the price down. We are now, this week online, we sold 1,000 round cases. They weren't as cheap as I'd like to see them, but we sold 175,000 round cases. It went in about 4 days. We have another shipment coming in this week, at the end of the week. We'll do it again. Those shipments are going to get larger and larger. We secured an off-site warehouse, and we're going to be shipping it all over the country out of this facility and having it in the store for our walk-in customers too. So we should be looking good coming into the next 3 to 6 months of ammo.
Now, that's pretty amazing. I'm going to say this right now, because to have 1,000-round cases of 9mm readily available, I mean, I'm not sure if you want to divulge the cost on that to the consumer, but and I know that there are places online as well, I mean, that we don't need to mention, but big retailers, online retailers of ammunition, that are actually selling it for more than you guys are.
It's true. I mean, we peruse. I've got two full-time guys that work on my auction that are on the internet all day long, and they're just constantly, you know, recording prices that are out there. And then they report back to me, and I catch up with them. I don't have time to do that myself, but, you know, I do it because it's interesting to see where we're at. If somebody comes in and says, is familiar with what's going on, and they say, wow, ammo's really went up. That's crazy. Are you guys really that high? And to us, we may have brought it down $5 a box, and we're thinking, holy smokes, it's way better than it was. And you've got some ammo to give them some information. Well, you know, we're currently seeing it online at this, and this, so we feel that this is a good price. You're trying to cost average everything down as best you can to get the customer the best price. We're shooters, too, and we buy ammo, too. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the same boat. We definitely don't want to take advantage of the situation. We want to try to make the situation better.
No, that's admirable as far as business goes. I mean, look, to have secured as much as you have and to have that availability there, that's awesome for the consumer. And to be concerned about price point to them is also admirable as well. Mike Green, Not Just Guns, joining us here. What else is going on? I mean, you guys are growing, and not at a rate where you can't keep up with yourself, but what else do you guys have in the works for Not Just Guns?
Well, I'll tell you, the new training center we opened up at the plaza next door, we've got 5,500 square foot, a little over 5,000 square feet of training facility. We have an indoor shoot house, large classroom, and we're doing classes all the time down there. We're working with simunitions. We're working with airsoft guns, high-end airsoft guns that are exact replicas. We're doing pistol classes. We've got a weekly clinic workshop that we're doing. We've got some basic pistol orientation for people that are thinking about buying a gun or maybe bought their first gun. Now they don't know what to do, so we can get these new shooters educated before they go trying to get their CPL or before they go to a public range. So we're staying busy. A lot of that info is on our website. It's also under Great Lakes Training Center. There's a website for that facility, too. We got a lot going on down there in that little corner of Mason.
It is, again, from the road, man, it doesn't look very big, but just walk in sometime and you'll realize what you guys have going on. And, of course, ammunition at the ready, that's absolutely amazing. And I'm very happy for you guys and appreciate the fact that you've stuck with us. I mean, we're a couple of years into this now, which, you know, you never know how something's going to go, but we're happy that it's working out for you, and we will continue to do the best we can to get people educated about not just guns there in Mason on Cedar Street at 127. The website, notjustguns.com. Follow them on Facebook, and all those links are on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. So are you looking forward to things warming up a little bit? I mean, I was like -8 when I got in the car this morning to go to work.
Oh, I know, and it's tough. We've been so busy, we haven't had much time to think about getting out to shoot, but with spring around the corner, we're ready. I think a lot of our customers are right there with us. You know, we've all got the bug to get outside. It's one thing to shoot inside, but, man, we're all ready for the competitive season to start. A lot of our customers and a lot of us shoot competitively, different disciplines, but we love to get out there and compete and shoot, and we're ready to do a big range day is what we're ready to do.
Now, somebody asked me, and I couldn't give him the answer, Mike, if you guys dealt anything in reloading supplies, because those are getting kind of expensive as well.
We don't do much in reloading supplies, and it was basically due to the fact that unless you're buying large volume and that's what you do, it didn't make sense price-wise with hazmat fees and stuff, so we chose to go another direction and let the guys that do that well. But again, something we've talked about doing again. We used to be a Dillon dealers to carry all that stuff. And as times change and things change, right now it's popular. There was times where it really wasn't. So space-wise, it wasn't cost-effective. But no, we do not currently do much with reloading supplies at the moment.
All right. Well, we do have that information at least. And again, if you're looking for ammunition, make sure you hit them up online or go right in the store itself. Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127, notjustguns.com. Mike, you guys, again, we appreciate all your time, your efforts, and the fact that you have been working with us for the past couple of years. And, you know, look forward to talking to you again soon.
Same here. We appreciate the support and enjoy doing this.
Absolutely.
Let us know if we can help again.
Absolutely. Check them out, man. Notjustguns.com. Wednesday night auctions and walk-in service. Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, Michigan, with Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father. He's a daughter and a son.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Mike Green from Not Just Guns joining us in the first half of this hour. And, man, he's got ammo. If you need ammo, Mike's got ammo, and he's got a supply coming in, 9mm and the like. Just if you're looking for it, look no further than notjustguns.com. And, you know, they'll do stuff on the auction. They got the big cases, they got boxes, and you know their limits are, it's not a one or two box limit. Okay, so again, check into them before you go crazy looking for ammo. Don't panic, they've got you covered. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And we're going to talk a little ice fishing right now with our good friend Brian Brosdahl Bro has been with us probably since year one of the 15-year run we've been doing. And finally, Michigan has got, we've got so much cold, Bro. First of all, welcome to the show. We've gotten so much cold in such a short amount of time that it's been kind of crazy. So how are you?
Hey, good. No complaints. Minus 30 this morning. not as cold as it's been.
Not as cold as it's been. Of course, you're in northern Minnesota, which is, you know, a little bit higher. It's like our upper portion of our UP, which down here we got like, you know, it was minus 8 when I walked out. Alex says it was like minus 18, 20-ish. But when that 30-degree weather comes, it's going to be T-shirts and flip-flops.
Oh, absolutely. Yesterday it got up to 10, and it just felt like I was in a different state. It was the atmosphere was great and almost T-shirt weather.
It's crazy how we can adapt to this cold like that. You know, I went out without a jacket this morning, you know, and it was minus single digits. It's just crazy. But, you know, come summertime, I'm going to be miserable at anything over 70.
Well, you get used to it. And, I was mentioning off air, I had a client from Florida that would come up ice fishing. He thought it'd be a novelty. Well, after 15 years of taking him on and off, he moved up. He likes the cold, and he'll visit the warmth, but he likes the cold. He likes doing stuff outside. He likes, you know, fishing and hunting and the shed hunting. And it's all state of mind. And when I go to Florida, I'm the guy on the pier in shorts when it's 40, 50 degrees, right. And everybody's always asking me, "What part of Canada are you from?"
Yeah, because you got to be from Canada to enjoy 40 or 50 degrees in February.
Oh, it's like a heat wave down there. It's such a relief to see that there's good ice starting to form all around. And my Facebook friends from Michigan are getting out and getting fish, and they're being safe on the ice, of course. But get out and enjoy it. Fish are good to eat, and they're fun to chase.
Now, speaking of Brian Brosnahl here on Wild Michigan, Bro, I want to ask you, we got, you know, anywhere from 6 to like 13 inches of snow here overnight a couple of nights ago. How does that snow not affect the ice, but the fishing underneath? Because that cuts off a lot of the light that goes into the water below us. So how does that affect us, I mean, fishing-wise?
Oh, great. I love it. When you get clear ice and then you got clear bodies water, even if they're stained bodies water, clear ice is a bear cat to fish. I like it when there's little snow, opaque ice. Opaque ice is basically you get a snow, it pushes down the ice, it floods, and then it freezes. So you get that ice, and fishing is just better. I like it when there's a little cover, and when I'm out there, I'm looking for little peaks. If there's little snow drifts, I'll fish in the drifts. There's less sunlight. If you drop an AquaView camera down, I got a Micro 5 Pro, I'll up you because there's light up here and it's dark down there. Sometimes the bottom's black, but I'll drop the camera and up you. Even in my same hole I'm fishing in and look up at the ice, then it's amazing. You could see your quad out there. You could see your snowmobile. It casts a shadow on the ice. So knowing that, you want to be careful about too much movement if the water's really clear, and drill your holes and be done with it, because I see it all the time. There's areas that fish hold to, perch, walleyes. The school is not miles and miles long. The school could be 20 feet to 200 feet long, and I watch people all the time drill past the school and then never catch anything because they figure, oh, we'll just keep going. No, it's you micro drill. You drill, you space out your auger spaces, you know, maybe 30 to 70 feet. When you get a little clue, you catch a fish or a jumbo perch or a walleye, I always try to figure out how big that school is. So I'll drill, I'll space them out, and find out where they're at. But you can micro drill, but don't drill like crazy, especially in clear ice or clear conditions. So a little snow does help.
Speaking of Brian Brosnahl here on Wild Michigan, Bro, when you talk about the school, it's not really a traveling school. It's more suspended, correct?
Yeah. And as if there's opaque ice and a little bit of snow, mm-hmm. that'll bring them up off the bottom a little bit. If it's clear ice, they're going to be hugging the bottom. And also, everything that lives in the lake, and it's not just fish. There's other aquatic things. There's bloodworms. There's zooplankton. There's hexes, you know, the mayflies that are in the mud in different areas. And these little critters, too, with a lack of light, get a little more active under the ice. And so I noticed the other day, drilling along, I hit a spot where there's a bunch of little tiny blue flecks on my hummingbird all over the place, and dropped the AquaView, and there was all kinds of insect life, micro insects, and the fishing was really good. And it was just a little area where the insects were just going crazy, where there were some weeds decaying, and all the bugs need something to eat, and they eat decaying weeds and stuff like that, and they eat each other. But the perch were just thrashing through there, and perch aren't like crappies and bluegills. They don't sift stuff out with their gill rakers. They need to see something. So these little shrimp that were feeding on the decaying grass were targets for the perch. They could see them. And instead of spoons, I went to micro baits. I was using a Northland mud bug. And I, if anybody's been out there, the mud bug has been great for panfish, but it's got a good hook on it, and it's good for trout. That with a few maggots, spikes on there, and did really well. The waxworms, they basically would come up and hit it and be gone. But the maggots, they couldn't get them off as easy. But they were just slamming it.
Speaking of Brian Brosnell here on Wild Michigan, bro, you know, I do like the spikes personally because, I mean, they are tougher. They last a bit longer. The waxworms will, you know, pull a little bit more into the water as they kind of bounce mm-hmm. around and get hit. But you cannot beat spikes for toughness on a hook.
Oh, yeah. And the waxies are spectacular when you're fishing for bluegills, because that little bit of a, when they tear them up, and it's like crackers on the counter. You know, there's mm-hmm. always crumbs all over the place, and they tear the waxworms up, and they're floating in the water. You can see all the debris in the water from waxies. That's one thing I love about those. And bluegills, I don't know, the big bluegills really like them. So if you are fishing for bluegills, waxies are nice, and you know, hook them on, put two or three on. Double, triple hook them, and then cut the tips of the waxworms off, because it's all about making a mess down there, because they smell it, and it kind of holds them there, and they know there's food, and those little pods of bluegills that are swimming through the weed bed are going to stop and kind of stay there a little bit longer.
Essentially, what you're doing is chumming in a vertical motion. Right. We're chumming. Well, we're chumming in a vertical motion.
I wish we could chum. We can't chum here. Because there's so many cool things out on the market, you know, bait bombs and stuff. So I don't chum, but sometimes my waxy doesn't know how to hold it in. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But that little bit of oil, they got a lot of oil on them,
mm-hmm.
and that oil is awesome. And it's a natural thing. It's something you can do. You can use lots of waxies on your hook, but there's also times in plastics, you know, the bloodworm has been a great okay. plastic for Northland, and it's been a tried and true bait
hold
for
that
many,
thought,
many years.
Bro. All right, man. We're going to speak more with Brian Brosnell here, find out what's going on ice fishing-wise, and got a couple more questions for him as well here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Here we are, February. Almost mid-February, actually mid-February, and we are getting colder. Before it gets warmer, I think this is just me, that we're probably going to have a quick warm up here as we get closer to March, and going to lose a lot of the snow. And be careful when you're going out on the ice. Just reading a quick Saginaw Bay fishing report from the guys at Frank's Great Outdoors. Some good ice out there, but you can have 10 inches next to 3 inches. So please use care while you're going out fishing. If you're heading the bay, Saginaw River doing very well with walleye, catching a lot of fish. Got to sort through the smaller ones to the bigger ones. But hey, if you're catching fish, what does that matter, right? So, but please, again, use caution and let people know where you're going and keep your phone charged and keep your ice picks handy. I'm going to speak now with Brian Brosdahl. Bro, one of the things, you know, we know how well the Impulse Plastics from Northland work, the whole line of jigs that you have put together along with Northland. But as you were talking about wax worms and talking about spikes, you know, I don't hear or haven't seen a lot of people using, and maybe it's just me, maybe it's just a geographical thing, but mousies anymore.
Oh, mousies are cool, and they do have them. It's, some bait shops who just want to have everything do have them, and they do work. That little tail's kind of cool. They're kind of fragile. I mean, they're kind of a more like a wax worm. The tail's strong, but the rest of it is a little bit fragile. But they work really well. If they're there, I like to get them and use them. I mean, do they work better than a waxy or a maggot? I don't know. They're pretty cool. And then there's butter worms, and there's night crawlers, and red worms, red wigglers, you know, which are the little angleworms. And then, of course, mayfly larvae, as they call the silver wigglers or wigglers up in the UP. And then minnows. And, you know, for perch, you have to have minnows. And yesterday, to get the bigger perch to bite, we were using whole minnows, but they could just hit it and take it. But we're using a half a minnow head, mm-hmm. and or the torso. But you don't throw the tail. You keep the tail. I mean, you're breaking the minnow in half, and the back half works great too. The perch will not pass up a slab of meat, you know. And but I noticed sizing down made a big difference, and we were saving just the very back of the tail, the small part of the tail, and threading that on a mud bug, and slamming some great fish. So you got to kind of go out perch fishing with the spoons, but you better have your bluegill tackle. So gill getters, mud bugs, and that kind of stuff works really well. Little forage fry spoons, buckshot spoons, you know, 1/24 ounce works really well. But the bloodworm, when times get tough, I've got the messages from all over the place, from here to New York, of people using them. And then the skeleton minnow is a favorite, mm-hmm. of a lot of writers and industry people. The skeleton minnow is kind of ran out. They sold out of them, but they'll be back. And so a skeleton minnow will be a red skeleton minnow. You can catch big fish anywhere. And you know when rainbow trout are smacking it, that it's really good because they're real fussy. But, yeah, it's great to see that there's ice there, and I'm glad everybody's getting out there.
Yeah, it's been nice. I mean, the Saginaw River has been, you know, Tittabawassee River for walleye has just been crazy. But, you know, we talked to our walleye guys, and just Michigan, we've been riding this wave for about 15 years now. That 10-year cycle that you hear so much about with walleye hasn't stopped. It's only gotten better and better and better, which is fantastic for us recreational sport anglers. And, you know, I mean, we're the ones footing the bill anyway, so we might as well enjoy it, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's an 8 limit out there on the bay, and it's good for business, people getting out, going fishing, and I tell you what, there's walleye is really good eating. You know, I've people from the southern states, you know, they have spotted bass and crappie, and you know, they got saltwater fish, but even some of those guys say their favorite fish to eat is walleye, and so, you know, they're just a good firm fish, but the perch are a nice bonus there. And there are some people, some hardcore perch dudes, I know, Facebook friends of mine, that get on the perch on the bay, and there's some real big ones. They're not all big, but, you know, a perch, maybe a small percentage, less than 10% of mature big perch, but you're kind of sorting in the thing with perch fishing. It's perch jerking. You're catching lots of fish, lots and lots of fish. You're hammering on them, and you kind of sort through, and you get the ones you want, and all different sizes. So you got crunchy ones, and you got, you know, bigger pieces when you're eating them. And but get out there, you know, hummingbird is great for, you know, plotting your way on. You want to have a plotter line, especially if you're crossing cracks, mm-hmm. and if you got sketchy ice. You know, I see the same all the time here where you got the change in the ice. But wherever you're walking and you're testing, you want to drop a plotter line. That's why I use a Helix. A Helix 7 is nice. Even if you just got a bucket, you can mount it on your bucket. And when you could, when you could take quads out there, you definitely want to have that so you can plot a safe trail and use your Lake Master cartography to find the holes and depressions in the flats.
Absolutely. Brian Brosnahl is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Bro, and let's not leave pike out of the whole thing for good eating, especially in the wintertime. Actually, only in the wintertime. Because there's something about that cold water and that fish that, you know, I mean, really, a really, really good eating piece of fish.
It is, and wide boning isn't that technical. There's tons of videos. Everybody wanted to get their face on that video. Wide boning isn't too bad, and a decent-sized pike, you know, something, you know, that you can at least see the bones, you know, mm-hmm. really small, you're better off pickling them or grinding them up. But we have a neighbor down the way that actually likes little pike, grinds them up. There's no bones. They fry out of them. They make patties. And I'd rather have a slab of meat that you can cook. So give me a four-pound pike or better. I don't want them too big because then they get chewy. But you know, about a 4-pound pike is perfect, and they are good eating, you know. And once in a while, I'll try something different. I'll try that, you know. It's not a perch or anything, but you can cook it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something you can put on a grill or in an oven, and you can bake it. Where perch are perfect for frying. There's nothing better than crispy fried perch.
Absolutely. Real quickly, I want to share a story. Brian Brosnahl is our guest. My good friend Dennis Jegla and I were out ice fishing one time for pike. Had our tip-ups down. We had a flag go up, and Dennis started reeling one in. Well, my phone rings. I look down. It was Babe Winkleman. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Dennis, Babe Winkleman's calling. So I answer the phone. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm out fishing right now. He's like, oh, yeah, any good? I'm like, well, my buddy Dennis is pulling one through the hole right now. And I'm like, how big, Dennis? Dennis looks at me. He's like, 25. And Winkleman's like, where are you fishing? I'm like, 25 inches, babe. He's like, oh, I thought you meant 25 pounds. He goes, I was going to come and see you.
Well, there's some good pike fishing all throughout Michigan, western Michigan, and some of the flowages. I don't want to mention some of the names because people could find me, but there's some real trophy pike all throughout the area and even on the Great Lakes. And when I fished the Detroit River, I couldn't believe how many big pike, and we caught muskies.
Oh yeah,
digging for walleyes, but there's some beautiful pike out there, and they're going to be closer to shore. Everybody's walking past where the pike are. The pike are going to be in, you know, just little crawl spaces up by shore.
Mm-hmm.
And setting tip-ups is the best way. A pro thermal from Frabel works really nice, keeps a hole from freezing, and it conceals light. And then you can actually drop a camera and look for weeds and get on the edge of the weeds. And dead baits, big dead baits on quick strike rigs work really well. You never know what you might bump into. The perch are up there. You might hit some panfish. So that's the neat thing is when you're up pike fishing, you run into stuff, but you always got to bring your AquaView because I put one in the hands of a guy yesterday, and he witnessed three northerns staring at his bait, and he finally got one to hit, and so they're kind of swarming right now, and it's getting closer. As we get closer to spring, the pike will pack up near the river mouths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be that time for pike, and getting to be that time to definitely get out because last ice, don't be that guy and, you know, have to be out on 3 inches of ice like the guys in the beginning do, okay? Go out safely, tell somebody, take a friend with you, and just do everything safely, man. It's fun. It's great to get outdoors. And bro, as always, man, we appreciate your help and your guidance as always.
Absolutely.
And dude, where does the time go?
The time goes fast, but everybody get out and fish, have a great time. There's a sense of community on the ice. Get out and enjoy it.
And don't forget, it's still happening too. Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit going to happen the 25th, 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi. So hopefully we'll see you there as well, as long as that continues to go on. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Mike Green and Company, also Conquest Sense, and of course United Deer Farmers of Michigan, bringing you Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.